It is 11:58 p.m. on this Sunday night, April 5th, 2009, the Keep On Truckin' edition of Dave's Gone By.
Oh, why does it called Keep On Truckin', Dave?
I'm so glad you asked me that, Jeff Goodman. The reason this episode of Dave's Gone By is called Keep On Truckin' is that our second guests are involved in a documentary. They shot a documentary about this little theater company that they're going to tell you about. It's an itinerant company that works with children. They go to little places in all across America. They come there for a week, and they put on a show using the talents of all the, or as many of the local kids as can fit in a particular show.
I love this story.
So it's the Theater of the Little Red Truck, I believe is the name of the company, and we have with us on the phone the producer of the film, Pam Voth. Pam, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Dave. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Pam.
Hello, Pam. Thank you so much for taking the time, especially late on a Sunday night. But I did want to talk about your documentary. I've started watching it. It's quite sweet.
I love this theater company. How'd you find them?
Well, you know, it is the Missoula Children's Theater, so it's right here in our own backyard.
And Missoula's Montana?
Yeah, it is in Montana.
We were right.
We like to say that they're out there making North America safe for musicals. You know, you were talking earlier about how to keep Broadway alive, and one way is to make sure there's new fans out there at every moment. And so when this little theater company comes into town and does a show with the local kids, they're breeding new theater fans,
yeah,
who will eventually make their way to Broadway and buy a ticket.
It makes people want to come to New York, yeah, to see shows.
Yeah.
Or even,
yeah,
in their local, or to just get out and do it somewhere, go to college and do it or something like that.
Yeah. So, yes, yeah.
I think it's so amazing that they just decide to get in a truck and go to the middle of nowhere. Now, do they get far out of Montana?
You know, the Missoula Children's Theater visits all 50 states, and also about 14 different countries every year. There's actually 42 little red trucks out there on the road at any moment, and you recognize them by they're this little Ford Ranger pickup truck. It's red, obviously, and then it has a little white camper topper on the back. And in the back of the truck is everything necessary to put on a full-scale musical. They've got the sets, they've got costumes, scripts, makeup. The only thing missing is a cast of 60 kids, which they basically find when they roll into town and hold a local audition.
Wow, that is... Oh, I want to do that. Can I work for them? I want a job.
You're a little young. Oh, no, you're a little old for that.
No, I mean, I want to go in the little truck, and that sounds great.
So
yeah, well, the two directors that are in the truck, you know, they're usually young people. They are... you know, they're selected very carefully because they need to be someone who has a very special attitude and aptitude for teaching, because they're taking kids who have no acting experience and working with them, and in the course of 6 days, they stage a full-scale one-hour musical with kids aged 7 to 17. And, you know, like you said, they're visiting these tiny little towns across the country, and also some bigger cities, too, like, you know, Hollywood and Las Vegas and Atlanta and some places like that. But the kids, I mean, it's really all about teaching kids confidence by being out on the stage.
Yeah.
And let me ask, so how did it go from hearing about this children's company and being intrigued by them and then saying with your husband, the director of the film, Rob Whitehair is his name, why don't we actually make a documentary? I mean, it's easier to make a documentary nowadays where you can just sort of pick up a camera, but it still is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my husband, Rob Whitehair, started off as a wildlife filmmaker, and the previous projects we've worked on together were wildlife films.
Well, you're not too far afield with children and wildlife.
That's what we thought, too. We thought, well, this can't be too much different. But really, it was the story.
The problem is you can't shoot them.
I always like to say that they don't bite or scratch, and we saved a lot of money on sunscreen and bug spray by filming inside.
So how long did it take you, like, to put, when you say, hey, let's do a movie of this, how long does that take?
Well, you know, we took about 2 years to do the filming and editing. So about a year and a half of the filming, but really it was only 8 weeks of filming spread over the course of about a year and a half.
How many states did you cover?
Well, there are five different communities covered in the film, everywhere from a small town in Georgia to an Inuit hamlet up in northern Canada to Hollywood to a little town in Arizona, and you know, just all over the place. So what the film does is it follows a six-day storyline where the kids audition on Monday, and you watch the auditions in all these different towns. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids are just knocking it out of the park. You know, they're really great. And other kids are, you know, they're like, oh, how are they going to make it through the week? How are they going to get to, you know, curtain call? But what happens is the way this program is set up is all the kids succeed. So it really is about teaching kids teamwork and confidence and all the great things that the arts can teach a kid, you know, when they have a chance to experience it, which is a challenge in some of these small towns who don't have arts funding.
One thing I don't understand, because it's not just that they get up there at the end of 6 days and put on a 10-minute little, like, I remember back in elementary school when we have to do a Thanksgiving pageant or some crap like that. And then we would rehearse for about 3 weeks, these stupid little things, and then we'd get up there, and the whole thing would be about 15 minutes long. Every kid had one line. And it was up, how, within the course of a week, can kids memorize an entire, you know, hour's worth of material?
I know, it's like a 50-page script. Well,
with songs.
With songs and dancing and scene changes. And
And the kids are still going to school at this time, or is this like summer vacation?
Well, you know what it is? It's 4 hours of rehearsal a day. The young kids only have 2 hours of rehearsal. But they're broken up into age groups, so that each age group has kind of an appropriate amount of time to learn the material that has been written specifically for their age group, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, they don't know that they can't memorize a 50-page script, you know. They're just, no one says you can't do it, so they just think, well, okay, let's do it.
Actually, I'm totally shocked. I assumed that you had them, well, not you, but that the theater company had them for 6 days, and they started at like 9 o'clock, had lunch, and then everybody went home at 6, let's say, because they're kids. I didn't realize even the people who were older, like 12 or 13, 15 years old, only did 4 hours of rehearsal. I mean, I had to go home, obviously, and work on it, but still.
Right.
That, I mean, you have to see the documentary. It's called The Little Red Truck, to understand just how much is being accomplished in short a time.
I can't wait. As a matter of fact, the film will get to you late because I'm borrowing it.
Well, if anyone does want to see it, of course you can. It is available online, but it did open in Manhattan in September last year, and the New York Times wrote a fabulous review of it. We love the quote that Nathan Lee wrote. He said, "It's the cutest thing in the history of cuteness, a joyful portrait." And he said that they're making North America safe for musicals. But yeah, you know, and in the course of the story, I mean, it is a very cute story. But in addition to that, there's a real heartwarming aspect to it, because one of the cast members, in fact, was a girl who was legally blind, and she was cast in a lead role.
Which the Missoula people did not realize that she was blind until she was already cast.
Right, and of course they just stuck with their decision. They said she'll be fine, and without telling you any secrets of the film, you know, you do feel very proud of this little girl by the end of the movie. And then there was a little boy, if you remember the little boy who was in a street gang and was really
great.
Not, you know, happy with that sort of direction his life was taking. And he had the chance, when Missoula Children's Theater came to his small town in Arizona, to try something new. And he got in with the drama kids and had kind of a whole new take on life. And so it's,
you have to understand, I mean, I saw this part of the film and the scene, and here's a kid saying he was involved with bad people and with gangs, and you're part of that culture, and he wanted to break away from it, and it's very tough, because he gets, you know, called out and sometimes beaten up by these old kids that he used to hang with. And we're talking about a kid who, what was he, 10 years old? 12?
Yeah, I think he was like 12 years old.
He's a kid. We're not even talking about West Side Story teenagers. Yeah. We're talking about a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was 12, I was studying for my bar mitzvah and trying not to get beaten up by people like him.
And then when you see this kid who had been on the streets performing such a sweet role, and he does that little minuet with the lead actress on stage, and you just think, oh, wow, you know, he was such a tough kid, and now, look, he's able to express himself and be accepted in this whole new group, you know, just because Missoula Children's Theater came to town in their little red truck.
It gives the Sweet Charity number a whole different thing. They can see me now, that little gang of mine.
Yeah.
So let's get a little bit personal here. We're talking with Pam Voth, who is the producer of...
Before we get off the topic, you said we can see it on the internet. How is that possible?
Yeah, the website is called thelittleredtruck.com. And on the website, thelittleredtruck.com, you can purchase a DVD. They're $19.99 with shipping, plus shipping and handling. There's also, what we did is we compiled 12 little magical gems from the film and put them on as YouTube clips. And so that very front page, you'll see a place where you can click on sneak peek, so you can see 12 little clips from the film. And then you can also watch the official movie trailer, which is more of a two-minute preview of the film. So you can really get an idea what the film's all about. And then, you know, if you just want to see more, you can purchase a copy if you'd like.
Yeah, cool. Sounds great.
Now let me, as I said, get a little personal with Pam Voth, who is married to the director of the film. How did you guys, he's a photographer, how did you hook up? Or you're the photographer and he's the director. Wait, how did that?
I'm the photographer.
Right. Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm the photographer and cinematographer, producer. He is like I said, started off as a wildlife filmmaker, and I used to be a corporate marketing executive, and I like to say I jumped off the corporate ladder.
Yay.
Because I decided in one moment of lucid clarity that I wanted to make wildlife films. So I took my commercial making career and came to Missoula, Montana, where I met him, and he was in need of a field partner to help make wildlife films, so we did that for a number of years. And the last film that he made was, prior to The Little Red Truck, was a film for National Geographic Channel that was about the San Joaquin kit fox in California. And that one, that film played in 60 countries. And
oh my.
Like I said, he asked me, my interview question that he asked me to get a job with him was, would I carry 95 pounds uphill for 13 miles.
Oh, my.
And I guess I passed the test.
You said yes. For you, of course I
would. But when did you turn not professional?
It's always been professional.
When did it become also, because it sounds like it started like a professional relationship.
Over what animal did you get personally involved?
Yeah.
Yes, well, it was
were you watching two cheetahs or something, or what?
Grizzly
bears. Well, it became not personal. I became personal over a grizzly bear, if that's what you're asking.
Over a grizzly? Oh.
We were filming a grizzly bear, and
this
we thought,
so cute and lovable.
Wow, this is fun. We should do this more often.
Oh. So how long have you been married, then?
We got married right before we filmed the kids in Rankin Inlet. So we've been married for about 2.5 years.
Oh, congratulations. So I didn't realize it was such a recent kind of a thing. So how do you, though, you work together and you live, how do you have any kind of separation time or the ability to concentrate on your own stuff when everything is together?
Well, you know what we did? We were working in our house for almost all of the production, and about 6 months ago, after we started living with the film prints lined up next to the bed, we're like, okay, this has got to change. So we actually... rented an office space, a studio space in a historic building here in Montana. And so now we actually can go to the office. And we did notice that there was kind of a lack of, you know, separation between work and life. So we're much more balanced now.
So what are you working?
But he has a door he can shut now. So when he's editing and working on his film work, he can shut the door. And I won't bother him.
Now, you guys filmed grizzly bears and other... did you ever have any scary, like, grizzly man moments of fearing that you might have to leave the cameras and run?
Well, there was an interesting time. We never have had to do that. We're very careful around bears, but there was this very first bear that we were filming. We were with someone else who was going to go with him to film the bear, and So they left me with all the packs, because you can't leave your packs unattended, because then the bear gets into them, and that's bad news for the next hiker. So I'm there with three backpacks, and he and this other guy took up the trail, started filming a bear, and of course I can see them because they're uphill of me, and I said, the bear is coming right towards you. And there was another group of hikers that were coming down the hill, and they kept reporting to me that there was a guy up there with a camera, and the bear is 3 feet away. And I thought, wow, that's pretty close. as it turned out, this bear was just carefully eating huckleberries one by one, very gently and very purposefully. So he wasn't really looking for granola or cameraman as a snack.
Yeah, because cameraman does not go with huckleberry.
No. But
it goes with raspberry.
But cameraman granola is wonderful.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's very crunchy.
Oh, so...
Well, now, let me ask you. Here's my big question of the night. Okay. Where is he now?
Who, the bear or the cameraman?
The cameraman.
Well, he's here. Do you want to talk to him?
Yes.
Okay.
We've been talking with Pam Voth. She is the producer of Little Red Truck, the documentary we've been talking about. But Rob Whitehair is the director of the film, so I do have a couple of questions for him. Great. I'm so glad we're going to get him on the air.
He's right here.
Well, I'm here now.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for being on Dave's Gone By, and
hey,
congrats.
Thanks for having me.
Congrats on the film, and so
congrats on the grizzly bear.
Yeah, well, that too.
Thank you on both accounts.
Are you going to have any cubs, or is that a personal question?
Not yet.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. What are you working on now? Are you working on a tandem project now?
To tell you the truth, I'm writing right now. I got the theater bug.
Oh, good for you.
Which is it's
so you really don't care about money. Okay.
Well, you can always say that when dealing with wildlife films anyway. So.
Well, I thought there'd be... No, hold on. I have a question about that.
Geographic?
Wouldn't there be good money in... Because that's all you see when you turn on the TV on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. The American channels, the Spanish channel, these amazing animals, these dangerous animals. I would figure it's a big market, no?
No. Well, let's just say there's a lot of programs.
Oh, okay.
It's a good career. It's a good living.
Yeah. So
what I'm working on writing right now is a wildlife rock opera.
What?
Yeah.
That's what?
The same response I get.
It's kind of like it's kind of like Lion King, right?
a little bit. it's actually the stage play is set to choreographed. About 100-foot screen with wildlife footage playing behind it.
Okay.
And the story is based upon it's called The Last Song, and it's in search of the very it's in set in the future, and it's in search of the very last songbirds on the planet.
Oh, sad.
And so the whole thing, you know, it's kind of a metaphor for what the an exploration of what the world would be like without song. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. In music.
Are you writing the music or just the libretto?
I am writing the music. I wrote the music to the Little Red Truck, too.
Oh, that's right. It's very nice guitar, some slide and some, it's very gentle, nice stuff. Yeah.
Getting back to the Little Red Truck. Did you have the opportunity to get nominated for an Academy Award or one of those awards?
Well, you won some award with that film, didn't you?
We won a couple festival awards. We actually won the best documentary at the International Family Film Festival in Hollywood.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And then as far as the Academy Awards go, well, we happened to open 1 week too late.
So
we can still get in for this next coming year.
Oh, do. It sounds great. I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes I sit and watch the Academy Awards and go, why are they making a documentary on that? You know what I mean? And why in Spanish?
It's hard for some people to understand that this is a documentary because it's uplifting.
Yeah.
And, you know, so often documentaries aren't.
No, they're usually kind of sad.
Yes.
But
this is kind of interesting. I don't know if it's for real, but we're going to find out. We actually have a phone caller, someone who's been listening to the interview here, of someone who says that they've been in one of these little red truck productions, or they may have actually been in the film. So first of all, who's on the phone here? Who am I talking to?
My name's David Weinheimer.
Hi, David.
I guess he was in the film.
Yeah.
He's in the film. He's brilliant.
Now, David Weinheimer is one of the older, one of the people, not one of the young, braggy people. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And how are you involved in, because your name is ringing a bell, but I don't remember which one you are in the film.
I was one of the tour team in Americus, Georgia.
Okay. Are you the blonde kid guy?
Yes, I was the larger blonde guy.
Oh, yeah, I like you. You're really cool.
Thank you.
You're the guy who had to discipline them a little bit at one point, right? You're,
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're very good. Oh, why on earth? How did you find out? Well, I guess they told you we were going to be doing this interview tonight.
Yeah, it was. Yep, I happened to get an update and was listening in and wanted to call and say hi.
Well, this is. I'm actually very glad that we have someone from the actual troupe to talk to.
Let's have him ask them a question.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any questions for the filmmakers?
I guess just. Saying hi to Rob and Pam, and these guys, Rob and Pam, were wonderful, amazing people to work with, and I'm interested in seeing what they're up to now and hearing how Rob's wildlife opera, rock opera, is going.
But don't you want to ask him a question about anything he did while you were filming? Didn't he do anything strange?
Well, were they intrusive, or did they really hang back and let you go? Was there ever a point when they got... had to get close with the camera, or you felt that their presence was somehow changing the nature of what you normally do, or was it just like it was no big deal to have the cameras there?
It was no big deal. You know, they said from the beginning that they were going to stay off in the shadows, and, you know, I told the kids at the beginning of the week that if any of them looked at the camera, they weren't going to be in the movie. but it was just, you know, like their wildlife. They were... in the background, and mostly, like, we were ignoring the cameras. Near the end of the week, they said we could start making little comments into the camera here and there, but for the most part, like, they didn't change or influence the week in any way. They captured it very, very truly.
Excellent. But and
that was about nervous week, by the way, because that was our very first week filming, and we had no idea what to expect.
Oh.
Yeah. David was a very, very gracious person to let us stick cameras in his face the whole week.
Yeah, how do you like
work?
How did you like living with the cameras, basically?
Living on the road is wild. That week, Rob and Pam will know, we stayed with the circuit court judge down in Florida who was hunting buddies with Reagan's Secretary of State, like, there, who had this huge 800-acre farm, and they took us ride on this, like, special hunting buggy that he had personally made, and, you know, so, like, there's so much stuff that we got to experience with them that, you know, unfortunately, there's no way to fit that into the documentary in the time, but there's, you know, all the stuff that goes on behind, and when you're not at rehearsal, Rob and Pam got to experience that with us.
So, one thing I do have for Mr., is it Weidenheimer? Is that the name?
Weinheimer.
Weinheimer, sorry. I was close. I just threw an extra syllable there.
Yeah.
But in the times that you've been with the Missoula Theater, was there ever a time when, after 6 days, it really just didn't happen, where it was a disaster, or, you know, one time that it couldn't go?
No. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, like, you know, you get a feel for the kids of the week, and if they're kids that are struggling or younger, you find ways to make the script easier for them or to cut stuff here and there. But ultimately, it's about all of those kids being able to succeed in some way. And, you know, different places have different expectations for their kids. Some places want, you know, a Broadway-quality musical, where some places just want their kids to be able to get up on stage and say lines. So you look for whatever success means to that town and those kids and that community, and you're able to pull that from that.
Well, I must tell you, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I think what you're doing is such a terrific thing. I really do. And how long have you been with this theater troupe?
Well, I'm no longer with them. I was on tour with them for a year and a half.
Have you stayed in theater? What are you doing now?
Yeah, I live in Astoria now in Queens, so I'm here in New York as an actor.
Oh, what are you doing? Are you doing anything off-Broadway or off-off or what? What are you up to? What are you in?
Introduce you to Martin Vinovic.
Right now I'm performing every weekend doing improv comedy at the National Comedy Theater.
Oh,
that sounds fun.
That's on 34th, isn't it?
Yeah, on 36th Street.
36th, okay, cool. Well, that's neat. Do you think you'll get involved in Missoula again, or that was the time and then you're moving on to other things?
Well, you know, hopefully I'd love to go back at some point in the future. It depends a little bit on what I get up to here, but I love that company so much, and I would be happy to work for them again in the future.
You could be a visiting star like J.K. Simmons.
He's
interviewed in the film. He's a guy from, is it Law & Order? One of those Law & Orders.
He's with The Closer.
Sorry?
The Closer and Spider-Man, Juno, several different films.
And he's got a lot of work for him. Yeah. So he came out of that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Was he a teacher or was he a kid who came out of that? I assume he must have been a teacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. And then he also, the man who started the Missoula Children's Theater, Jim Caron, actually taught J.K. How to act.
Whoa.
Because he originally was training to be an opera singer. And then he was a little over emphatic in a production of Brigadoon. And Jim Caron taught him to kind of hold back a little bit and act more like a human.
Well, it's good because if you see Simmons, especially on Law & Order, do you know who I'm talking about, Jeff?
No.
Can you picture him? You'd know him as soon as you saw the face. He's usually the he's not the lady psychiatrist. He's the male shrink that they go to when they've got one of these crazy people. His bald guy, he was, you'd know him if you saw him.
Okay, I think I know who he is.
And he's really the nicest person in the world.
Fantastic.
Oh, man. He's just, when the film opened in L.A., he came to the Lamley Music Hall and did a Q&A with the audience with us. And he's just such a great guy and really, his family actually still lives in Missoula. So we see his parents every once in a while and... everyone's really proud of him.
Let me ask a question about the actual... Once the film is put together, once you edit it, once you put it on DVDs, how do you get the film out there as opposed to just having a website, putting it on a website? I mean, how do you keep track of the festival? I mean, how do you get it to the critics? How does it go out there?
It's a tough thing. You know, you have... There's a couple things. One of the things, you know, you could get it to a distributor, and we had a couple of offers from distributors to take all the rights, but one of the things that we wanted to do was to keep the DVD rights so that a portion of that money could go to support the Missoula Children's Theater.
Nice.
And we thought that would be a great opportunity for them. So we kept the DVD rights, so we ended up doing the theatrical release ourselves.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I mean, what does that entail in order to get a film all over America? It was just on DVD, so it was never 35mm or 16mm.
It was 35mm.
Wow.
Yeah, we were in about 35 major cities last year. The Regal Cinema Art Program picked it up in a lot of their cinema art theaters across the country, and then AMC Select also played it in their programs.
Those are big.
They're very big chains that have an interest in getting independent theater or independent films out there. And we hit it at the right time to do that, and then we had a few independent cinemas
like the Village East.
Sundance Kabuki in San Francisco, Lamley Music Hall in L.A.
And now you're going to be up for an Academy Award. You're still eligible this year, huh?
Yes, we'll be eligible.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you get nominated for Best Documentary? That's what I wonder.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, good. Now,
working at it.
I have a question for the person who was in the film.
Mm-hmm. David Wienerer. God darn it, I'm sorry.
David.
Yeah, David.
David, did you find that you were accurately portrayed, or were you happy or sad with the way you were portrayed when you first saw the film?
I felt it was pretty accurate. I come across, I think, as kind of goofy throughout parts of this film, which is pretty much how I am. But, you know, it was, they captured it very well, and, you know, captured the moments and having fun throughout the week and all of it.
I have to say, I giggled, too. There's this moment when you're sitting with, this was you, and you're sitting with a woman who's like the partner on the in the thing, and she's making a fairly serious point, and somehow the word do, she's like, this is how, what the things that we do, blah, 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 and you start giggling, and you own up to it, which I thought was really brave, and you were like, I'm sorry, she just said do, and I'm laughing.
Yeah, that was me.
And where do you originally hail from?
I'm originally from Indiana.
Gary, Indiana? No.
No, not Gary, Indiana.
Small South Indiana or a large town, big North Indiana?
It's a smallish town. It's a town called Columbus, Indiana. It's in South Central Indiana.
And did this theater company ever visit your area?
Yes, they actually had. I missed it or wasn't around when I was a kid, and they visited. But after I hooked up with them in a teacher job, I found out that they had been to my hometown several times.
Wow, that's kind
of
cool.
And then we did a special opening of the film in Columbus, Indiana at the Yes Cinema there, which I understand was very fun. We weren't able to attend that one, but David was there.
Yeah, it was a very, we did the, Rob and Pam were nice enough to let it, the film premiere in my hometown the same night that they opened it out in Missoula, and
wow,
we had a wonderful premiere there, and very well received, and all that.
Oh, I have a question that's going to be boring to everybody out there listening, but I am just really curious. Here you are, you're making this film that features hundreds of kids auditioning, all this stuff going on. How, or did you need to get release forms for every single face that appears? How do you work that?
Yeah, that
stacks of paper.
Stacks of paper.
So it really, really has to be, you really do have to get releases from, what if they're just kids who don't even get cast, but they're briefly shown, like, for a second, like, in a line of kids auditioning? Them, too?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and whether we needed them or not, we got them.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, because that's a hell of, because when I was filming a local TV show here about 2 years ago, and every time I had to do something with people on the street, it was always like I'd do the little bit, and then I'd have to go and get a release form, and I kept wondering, is it really necessary? I mean, my thing was not a commercial endeavor, but it made me wonder when I was watching yours, oh my God, does every kid who's shown briefly on screen need to have like a permission thing signed? And you're saying yes. Did their parents sign it, or they themselves?
No, the parents.
Parents.
Oh, okay,
the parents
cool.
would do that, yeah.
And, of course, there was a lot of follow-up over a two-year period to get parents to sign them for some of the kids. But
no one had any problem signing it. It was just, it's kind of, you know, when you give a seven-year-old a permission slip, sometimes it takes a while for that actually to connect to a parent.
Oh, they're not all responsible? How shocking.
We had a lot of help from the tour teams as well, and the presenters who bring Missoula Children's Theater to their town. So, yeah, but it's you know, that was an important part of the filmmaking process. I mean, you definitely have to do that.
So for,
we even have a release from J.K. Simmons.
Well, yeah. Oh, cool. You have an autograph on him. You should have Xeroxed it and just kept the Xerox. But so for David, do you have a favorite, most profound or just funniest moment, not from the film, but just from working in that year and a half with the Missoula troupe?
Oh, boy, that's that's a tough one. You know, I'm not sure that one necessarily sticks out above the other. You get to meet all kinds of different characters.
Tell us one story that was not in the film. That you'd like to talk about that was fun.
Oh, boy, that I can talk about on the radio at 12:30 at night?
Well, we can.
You can talk about anything on the radio at 12:30 at night. This is the time.
Only minor curses, though, not major curses.
There was one week where I won't mention where I was or at all, where I'm pretty sure I stayed with a cult leader.
Oh, God.
It was this really small town, and everyone...
Is it a cult that wore hoods?
Yeah, this, like... same church or cult, and he was like, it was just very weird, and he had a huge sword collection, and it ended up being just fine. It was just this tiny little weird town, and I was like, what? Where are we?
You were actually rehearsing with Children of the Corn. They were the Children of the Corn, for real.
They definitely were.
Well, guys, I mean, this has been just so much fun. So please remind us, Pam Voth and Rob Whitehair, again, how people can see the Little Red Truck documentary.
I'd be happy to. You can go online. The website is thelittleredtruck.com, thelittleredtruck.com. There you'll find an official trailer. You can watch little mini clips, and you can also purchase a copy of the DVD for $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
Yay! So, guys,
and they can also write to the Academy of who does the Academy Awards to get you nominated.
That would be the Academy of Motion Picture
Arts and Sciences, of course. Yeah,
one of my friends votes for that out west. I'll have to talk to him about.
Get him a copy of the DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave, I wanted to say one more thing. The only other way people can get the DVD right now is there's 42 tour teams out there on the road every week. They're in a new town, so. If any of the listeners are in a town that is so lucky to have MCT visiting them, the tour actors have those in their trucks, and they're selling them in person.
Oh, that's nice.
But in about a month to 2 months, they will be available more widely in a retail setting, which I won't go into as much. But we'll keep everyone posted at our website, thelittleredtruck.com, as to where else they might be able to purchase
the
DVD.
TheLittleRedTruck.com, that's the place to go to find out about this documentary. It's really, really cool. I want to thank so much Pam Voth and Rob Whitehair for visiting us without a truck, just with a telephone in the neighborhood, and also certainly for calling in all the way from Astoria, Queens. I thought you were calling from like the middle of Montana. It's not so special that you're in Astoria, Dave.
But just around the corner.
And I'm going to butcher your name one more time. It's David Weinerander.
It's close. It's David Weinheimer.
Weinheimer. I'm sorry.
I'm such a wise man.
Weinheimer, I know. But thank you for sharing, all of you, and for doing this work. Best of luck with this film and with your future films, Pam and Rob, and best of luck with the improv and the acting. Everybody, keep in touch with the neighborhood, and thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.